September. There's a sign-up sheet on the back wall, or you can just let me know directly. We're so pleased to say that over 50 people have registered already, which is amazing. And we're really excited about those small groups. So if you want to know what's happening, that is happening right now. The small groups, we're excited, and plan and pray to be a part of that, if you will. Okay, and then we're in a series in the book of Nehemiah. This has been a great time together. And with that, let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study this great book and to consider these amazing truths and see how they apply to our lives, our calling, and walk with you. We ask you to anoint our ears and our hearts and our minds as we look to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Nehemiah is such a wonderful and important study for us. It has a great message for us as a church and as a believer. In fact, the name Nehemiah means comforter. And of course, that's one of the names given to the Holy Spirit, for that is the message in this book. It speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us as Christ is building his church. We're not talking about bricks in a wall or a temple, but we're talking about people. 1 Peter 2:5, we are living stones built up together in a spiritual house. So that's where this book finds incredible application for us as New Testament believers. We're talking about how God redeems people's lives, how God rebuilds people's lives and restores people unto the Lord in Christ, blessed in Christ. Now, Nehemiah, the man, was a Jew born in captivity about 1,000 miles from Jerusalem. He hears the news of what's happening in Jerusalem, and he takes it to prayer, and God puts something in his heart and moves him to go back to Jerusalem, leading the third return to rebuild in Jerusalem. He comes before the leaders and the Jews and he says, listen, come, let us rise up and let us build. In 2:17 and 2:18, they respond and say, yes, let us rise up and build. And it says they set their hands for this good work. Or in the King James, it says they strengthened their hands together for this good work. And so it is with us, isn't it, that we also strengthen our hands for this good work. In the church age, as Christ is building his church, as gifted individual members of his body, we strengthen our hands for the work. For he has called us, and we have a local assembly in a community with a mission and an opportunity and a time. And let us, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Let us be so awake to such a time as this that God has called us to. This time in our lives and in the generation of this precious church. Now, sadly, many Christians, when they come to a chapter like Nehemiah 3, they quickly read over it because it's a list of names. But we hopefully are learning, oh, we don't do that, because we realize there are so many golden nuggets through this precious chapter. As return to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates. We see in this chapter the names of the families listed who returned. In fact, many of those family names are the same names back in Ezra 2 from a few generations earlier. When the remnant returned under Zerubbabel, there was those precious people returned to build the temple. And now two generations later, the same family names. And what do we get from that? We understand the generational blessing of discipleship and the effect of one generation to the next. You may remember, look back to people who are perhaps not with us anymore, who affected your life. And now you also have the opportunity to affect others in future generations. So, if we take the basic outline of the wall, and we'll just review some of what we said last week to help us set the stage again. If we look at the general outline of the walls, it's about 2 miles around, it's about 10 gates, and the chapter follows anti-clockwise around the wall. Each verse will look at a gate and a few of the families that built at the wall accordingly. So, for example, if we focus in on the wall, you'll see in verse 1, it's Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren and the priests, and they built the sheep gate, and they consecrated it and hung its doors. We said in our hearts together, oh, may everything we do be dedicated to the Lord, be consecrated to the Lord, as they did with this gate. And again, we see that this high priest is the grandson of the high priest back in Zerubbabel's day. And it says that they repaired the wall, or they built the wall. Remember that Hebrew word, kazak. It's the word to encourage or strengthen or fortify. If you remember when David went into the wood in 1 Samuel 23, and it said he strengthened David's hand in the Lord, that's the word. When David encouraged himself in the Lord in 1 Samuel 30, that's the word. Strengthen, encourage. It's a word that relates to ministry and how we minister to people. It's in the perfect tense, for each one completed the allotment of the wall that was given to them. We see, and next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zakur. So you can see that it follows around the wall accordingly. In verse 3, it goes on. If you look at that, you come to the fish gate. And the sons of Hassanah built the fish gate, and they laid its beams and hung its doors and bolts and bars, etc. And next to them, Meremoth. And each time it says Meremoth, the son of, or it names, and the son of, and it's to identify them specifically from others who might have the same name, and also to value the genealogy and those that have gone before them. And next to them, Meshulam, and next to them, Zadok. And next to them, the Tekoites. Remember, that's the hometown of Amos the prophet. It's about 10 miles south of Jerusalem. And then they came up to rebuild the wall. It says in that verse that their nobles did not do the work, but the people nevertheless did. Some people at the wall did their portion, others did twice their portion, and some did none at all. Verse 6, moreover, Jehoiada the son of Pesiah and Meshulam, etc., repaired the old gate. Here we come to another gate. They laid its beams, etc. And next to them, Melatiah the Gibeonite, Jabin the Meronothite, again repaired. Then you come to verse 8 as we go down the wall. Next to him, Uzziel. He was one of the goldsmiths. And next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers. We love that these detailed, fine craftsmen who are working with gold, here we see them building at the wall. And it says that they fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Isn't it interesting? It says they fortified the wall. They were there just with their small part, and yet it says they fortified the wall. And it might be the same as us. You might diminish the value of what you do in your ministry or service. But your small part is part of fortifying the wall, and it is so valuable. And next to them, Raphaiah, leader of half the district. And next to them, Jediah made repairs in front of his house. And next to him, Hattush made repairs. You keep going down, verse 11, just as we review. Malchijah, remember, he was one who had failed and repented back in Ezra chapter 10, and 14 years later we see him restored and rebuilding. What a message of mercy and redemption that is. I'm sure we could have some of those stories told about how God has given us such grace in our life that we would be able to stand here and be used by him today. And Hashab repaired another section in verse 12. Next to him, Shalom, who was a leader of half the district of Jerusalem. And again, we see these leaders dotted all the way around the room, different positions in society. And verse 13, here is the longest stretch of the wall, Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah. They repaired the gate and this long stretch of about 1,500 feet all the way down to the east-south-western tip of the city. And this brings us to be about halfway down to the refuse gate or the dung gate. And this is where we finished last week, if you remember, that someone had to rebuild the dung gate, where all the refuse and the rubbish was taken out of the city. And you can say, what is my job? Oh, it's to repair the dung gate. But it doesn't matter which gate, it's such a privilege to be able to serve in the work. Now, so we're up to speed, and it continues in verse 15. Shallun, the son of Kolhozes, the leader of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. So here, if you go round the corner from the dung gate, you come to the fountain gate. You notice it's quite a sharp corner. And this is like the work of God. You may not see every facet of the wall. I don't see around the corner. I don't see the other side of the wall. And you may not see all of the things that happen in church life and all of the things that people do. Nevertheless, we are serving and working at the same wall. It's the same high calling. The fountain gate is the sixth of the gates. And he built it and he covered it and he hung its doors with its bolts and bars and repaired the wall to the pool of Shelah by the king's garden as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. And we see in these verses details that are recorded about the stairs and the pool, etc., and the buttresses and the bolts and the bars, because the details of our work and our ministry is important to the Lord, and it's recorded. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love and all that you do by faith. Verse 16, after him, Nehemiah. This is a different Nehemiah, by the way. It mentions his father here to make that distinction. He's leader of half the district of Beth-Zur. He makes repairs as far as the place in front of the tombs of David. And after him, verse 17, the Levites. Now, they make repairs. Because now we are moving back up the wall towards the temple area, back towards the priest's area. And if you were a Levite, you would certainly have an understanding of what this was all about as you picked up a brick and as you were building the wall. You would know, oh, it's about the wall and the city and the temple and the sacrifices. And when you have the full perspective, your seemingly menial task put in context is so valuable. The Levites understood the worth and the value of every brick, of every effort, because at the center was the work and the redemption of God through sacrifice. Now, as you go on up next to him, Hashabiah, leader of half the district of Keilah, made repairs. And in the next verse, and after him, their brethren under Bavai, leader of the other half of the district of Keilah. So here's a district, two halves, both leaders leading by example and showing the people from that region the importance of rebuilding. And next to him, Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the leader of Mizpah, repaired another section in front of the ascent of the armory. That's an important part, isn't it? The armory. Again, to recognize how important each part is. Now in verse 20, after him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, carefully repaired the other section. What is it in that verse that jumps out to you? That he carefully repaired. It goes all the way through and he repaired and he repaired and he repaired. For some reason, when it comes to Baruch, it says he carefully repaired. In fact, a better translation would be that he zealously repaired. For the Hebrew word kara comes from a root to glow or to burn or to kindle. And this is reflective of what was in the heart of this man, Baruch. It doesn't mean the others were cold or indifferent. It just has a focus on this man. For some reason, he was burning with a vision in his heart. And it reminds me of a story you have perhaps heard of some version of it. But Christopher Wren, the famed architect of London who built over 50 churches, most famously St. Paul's Cathedral, was apparently visiting the site one day, observing the work of the laborers. And he said to this laborer, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm moving these bricks over to that part of the site. He asks another one, what are you doing? Oh, I'm preparing the frame for the windows to go in. And then he notices one laborer who is whistling and he has joy and he seems to be working so hard. And he says, what are you doing? And he says, I am building a great cathedral. And isn't it about perspective? To realize what we are a part of. It is incredible to consider that we can be called believers, Christians, that we are gifted members of the body of Christ, and every one of us has an unspeakable purpose in His plan and in His work. None is more valuable than the other, but everyone's so precious and irreplaceable, anointed and used by God. And we say we are co-laborers with Christ who is building His church. In verse 21, we continue after him, Meremoth. Now, the beautiful thing about Meremoth there is he's mentioned back in verse 4. He's one of these characters that built one part, and when he'd finished, he went and built another part. He went beyond his allotment. And we could say that of several of our brothers and sisters in the church here, or not just one section, but another section and perhaps another, serving in grace before the Lord. From the door of the house of Eliashib to the end of the house of Eliashib. Who was Eliashib? He was the high priest, remember, in verse 1. And it says here of Meremoth that he was building the wall by the house of the high priest. And the thing that spoke to me in this was Eliashib is building up by the sheep gate and Meremoth is building down here. And perhaps where I serve is a blessing to you, and where you serve is a blessing to me. That your gifts are not for you, they're for me. And my gifts are not for me, they're for you. We are gifted for the unity and the blessing of the body wherever we may serve. Amen. Thank you. I got one. That's good. Verse 22. And after him, the priests, the men of the plain, made repairs. And the plain in the scriptures usually is referring to the Jordan plain, perhaps where the family was from. And here they are, these are now priests serving at the wall. Verse 23, and after him, Benjamin and Hashab made repairs opposite their house. And Azariah, the son of Messiah, the son of Ananiah, made repairs by his house. Now, what is it that jumps out to you from that verse? Several times it says that he repaired by his house. And wherever your house is today, there is rubble outside. There is a work that needs to be done. There are broken lives that people need the Lord. And some may be called to overseas missions in India, and that's beautiful. But the work starts outside my house, across the street, in Peacehaven, in my community, perhaps my next door neighbor needs the Lord. And when we build at the wall, our own house, so to speak, will benefit. Verse 24, and after him, Benui, the son of Henadad, repaired another section. And it tells where he builds. Verse 25, Palal, the son of Uzziah, made repairs opposite the buttress, and on it goes. After him, Padiah, the son of Perosh, made repairs. Now, if we keep going up the wall, we come to Palal. Sorry, we come verse 26. Moreover, the Nethinim. Now, the Nethinim were the servants of the Levites, and they were the ones that worked on the water gate. Part of their duties would be to bring water into the temple, and they would use this gate to do so, and that's where they were building. Verse 27, and after them, the Tekoites repaired another section next to the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. Ophel was a region within the city where the Nethinim were. And the Tekoites built that part of the wall. Now remember, you've heard that name before. Hello? The Tekoites at the beginning of the chapter where it says their nobles didn't work, but they did work. And here we see them actually building a second part of the wall. How beautiful that principle is. We keep going up. Now we're in the region of where the temple was now. We're coming back round to where we started. Verse 28, beyond the horse gate, the priests made repairs, again, each in front of his own house. And again, we're in the coming up towards the district of the priests. By the way, this is the wall that would have been overlooking the Kidron Valley when Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives and looked over at the temple. This is the wall he looked at, the horse gate, etc. This stretch of wall. And it says in verse 29, "And after them, Zadok, the son of Immer, made repairs in front of his house. And after him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate." He was a gatekeeper and he was involved in building that. Now, there's a beautiful heritage of faith here. I'll share it with you. It says Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah. If you look back to Ezra 10, it tells us that Shechaniah was the son of Jehiel, the son of Elam. And Elam was with Zerubbabel in that first return of 50,000. And here we see his great-grandson building at the wall. What a wonderful principle that is. Verse 30, "And after him, Hananiah and Hanan." You see that? Now it says, "Hanan was the sixth son of Zalaph, and he repaired another section." What question rises in your heart when you read that? That Hanan, the sixth son of Zalaph, repaired another section. Where is his other five brothers? It doesn't mention them. It just mentions him, the sixth son, was building. Where were the other five? I don't know. Perhaps, like me, you think of Luke 19, where Jesus asked the question, "Where are the nine?" when there were 10 lepers who were healed and only one came back. Where are the nine? That's a good question. Where are the five brothers? I don't know. But Hanan was there. And how beautiful it is, with all of the peer pressure that may affect us in this world. It doesn't matter what our five brothers might do, but may we be faithful and be at the wall. It doesn't matter what your friends may do or what the world does. Oh, everyone's doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm doing something else. I'm responding to God's call on my life. "And after him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, made repairs in front of his dwelling." And then we come to the last section here, verse 31. "And after him, Malchijah." Now, this is a different Malchijah from before. Again, it mentions his lineage. "He was one of the goldsmiths, and he made repairs as far as the house of the Nethinim and of the merchants, in front of the inspection gate and as far as the upper room at the corner." One of the things that jumps out as you carefully study this passage is the different walks of life, the different skills. At the wall, you have laborers and gatekeepers and priests and leaders and goldsmiths and perfumers. And how beautiful that is in a healthy church that you see representatives from different levels of society, different backgrounds, different ages, different cultures. How wonderful that is in the unity of Christ, all being part of the work of God. Verse 32, the last verse. "And between the upper room and at the corner, as far as the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants made repairs." And again, you may notice that's just such a small part of the wall, isn't it? Just such a tiny little corner finishing off the circuit before the sheep gate, and yet how important that part is. It's invaluable to the work. And as Christians, with our value system, we learn never to undervalue what we do, never to undervalue one act of faith, one act of kindness, one prayer, one gift, one word in season, how powerful that is and how God can use that in his work. And this brings us to a full circle at the work of the wall. You follow it round anti-clockwise, and there's the 10 gates, there's the 35 sections of wall, there's all of those families mentioned, sons and daughters and fathers and families building at the wall. And it speaks to us of what we call body life or church life, where we are members of one another, called according to God's purpose. And may we strengthen our hands for this good work. Come, let us rise up. And let us build. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to look in this passage and have our hearts stirred once again as we think about this great work, your work on the earth, in us and through us, as you build your church, as you build a living house, a spirit-filled people. And we pray that you would bless our hands, our hearts, bless us as a church, give us guidance and direction and anointing and a blessing at every corner, every turn. We trust you and ask you for that. Perhaps there's one listening online this morning or here this morning. Oh, if you're not sure of your salvation, here it lies before you, just by your faith extended to Jesus, and say, Jesus, you are the Savior. Save me today by your grace. And for each one of us here, oh, we're so thankful that we can say that we are in Christ today. Oh, the blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we might be partakers of your divine nature, that you quicken us and change our lives, that your work of redemption in our lives, of restoration and rebuilding, we're so thankful for it. We pray you'd use these words to encourage us, to take us forwards in faith. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you so much as Denise continues to play. Doesn't Denise play beautifully? I was sitting there before the service thinking, wow, what a miracle gift that is. Beautiful. Thank you for ministering to us, ladies. And stewards will guide you out one by one. The sun is shining. I'd love to meet you in the parking lot. Greet one another in the Lord. And God bless you. Have a great day. Amen.